Economy ingredient number 3. A monetary system based on reserves of materials valued by everyone, including international trade, gold, silver, and so forth, instead of paper money, backed only by a promise of the Federal Reserve System that it is legal tender for all debts, public and private. The Federal Reserve System is a privately owned corporation separate from the government and has refused to submit to audit for more than 60 years. The reserve system, besides controlling our currency, has the ability to cause inflation and depression. Are you satisfied that they always conduct their manipulations for our best interests as well as theirs? If so, why do they refuse to be audited by Congress or anyone else outside the system? Economy ingredient number 4. Local production and local stockpiling for defense and supply purposes, to all extent possible and practical, materials and equipment needed to support industry, defense, and local economy. This means food, clothing, appliances, transportation equipment, farm machinery, building materials, and energy. Now, why is this important? Well, first of all, it provides a means of security and means of survival that we don't have now. It gives us a strong national defense by making us self-sufficient and strong all over. Local sufficiency means that we would have to be conquered city by city and town by town. As it is now, we're almost without national defense because we are dependent on long supply lines for many of the essentials for survival. We have become so dependent on large quantities of energy that cutting off our energy supply alone would force us into submission within a matter of hours. Over-centralization of supply for our essentials is more than just something to think about. It is something that we must do something about. We need more security than afforded by an array of military installations. We need local sufficiency. A few years ago, one of the radio stations in a large city was encouraging a clean-up, fix-up, paint-up campaign as a community public service. One enthusiastic lady called up the station and said, "Oh, this is such a wonderful idea. But when do we start?" Well, our job can't wait until somebody else go. If you believe that any of the things pointed out in this message need working on, for goodness sakes, get started now. Tell your friends, wife, kids, boss, anybody that might help. But for the time being, forget about your congressmen. They're addicted to the manipulated federalism and will not change their habits unless public opinion forces them to get back to their job, their duty in representing us instead of the manipulators. Another consideration for local independence besides defense ability is the generation of local pride of accomplishment and better local control of your way of life. You're close to your survival necessities and know where you stand and how to plan. You are part of a community and can see where you fit in and can appreciate the contributions made by your associates. Economy ingredient number 5. Planning and production of products designed and engineered to have a long, useful service life, be maintainable and serviceable. No one has to tell you that this era of rapid obsolescence we're in is wasteful and impractical. It jacks up an already inflated economy, an economy already suffering technological breakdown. Many of the things we buy are over-advertised, and we are often misled into believing that here at last is just what we need. So we borrow money and buy a lemon. It hardly slows down on its trip from the factory to the junkyard. What a waste of material, what a waste of man's time, and what a waste of the hopes and dreams of the one who pays the bill, plus taxes. No, this sort of thing does not make a stable, long-term economy, and we all know it. If we manage to hang on to an item long enough and are blessed with good fortune, we may get the bugs out of it just in time for it to become obsolete and parts and service almost impossible to obtain. We hear them say, "Who wants to fool with that old thing? Let's make him trade it in on a new one." No, it's not just automobiles implicated here, but many of the things we have come to regard as necessities. It may even apply to a few wedding rings. The recycling of residual materials at the end of a product life should be planned while the product is still in the drawing board's design stage, because at this stage, the method of fabrication can be flexed to facilitate methods of material separation that are most economical in the reclamation process. Much valuable material is lost if the product is burned and compressed. Also, reduction by burning releases many invisible but very undesirable contaminants into our atmosphere. Economy ingredient number 6. A strong spirit of competitive free enterprise. The better product for less money spirit. The old better mousetrap concept. In a natural economy, products must win favor by their own merit of value, or they die on the vine, so to speak. In our present economy, our sense of values are likely to be dulled by the atmosphere of loose money and the mountains of merchandise. When times stay too high too long, we tend to become careless in our evaluation of things. We are inclined to think, so why not give it a try? If it's no good, I'll throw it away and get a better one. This sort of attitude, together with high-pressure advertising, causes massive circulation of low-quality merchandise. It circulates a lot of money, but it is a very wasteful kind of economy, and it does not inspire producers of merchandise to keep upgrading their quality. Keen competition is the best incentive to produce top quality. Centralization in business, mergers, monopolies, and so forth, destroys competitive free enterprise and results in a manipulated economy that offers less quality for the consumer's dollar. Big, monopolistic businesses have the money to push national advertising, and they know, as long as times are high, those suckers out there will buy anything if the advertising is pushed hard enough. But this imposes an unfair hardship on persons forced to live on lower and fixed incomes. These dear souls are forced to value their dollars in terms of availability, but their dollars will not buy good quality merchandise. This is just one of the many sad, unjust consequences of a runaway, inflated economy. But there are remedies for this unbalance, and we see them applied every so often. People on Social Security complain loud enough and long enough until federal action increases their payments and increases withholding taxes. Those under collective bargaining go on strike and negotiate new higher wage contracts. Then the federal government raises the minimum wage scale to take care of all the rest of us. See, the economists have it all figured out, don't they? Well, don't they? No. Expletive deleted, no. These remedies are just like putting a clean bandage over an unclean sore. It may look better all wrapped up in white, but underneath, the infection keeps on spreading. All of these stopgap economic band-aids give short-term relief, but very quickly the effect comes full circle. Taxes go up, then prices go up, and we're right back where we were, except the economy is inflated more and our stability is weaker than ever. You may say, why, these federal economists are a stupid bunch of jerks. Why, even my kids in middle school could do better than that. Sure they could. The real top-level financial brains behind this whole inflation mess know exactly what they're doing. Yes, they do. Believe it or not, our economy is doomed to collapse, and it has been deliberately planned that way by the subversive infiltrators in our federal system who are overthrowing our government right now from inside the top levels. We now have more than a one-generation span of citizens who have known high times and inflationary values all of their lives. These dear younger people have become so completely addicted to this false economy they have grown up in that when the crash comes, they will turn to anything that promises to give them a fix. They will blindly accept a new order of government with very little questioning if it promises relief from their suffering. This is the true significance of lowering the voting age. These dear youngsters have grown up during a time when federalism has been promoted into the focal point of national attention, and now all eyes and ears are turned to the federal level as though it is the source of all things necessary to our life and happiness. Many people nowadays act as though they believe the works of nature were created by our government and are brought to us through the courtesy of federal control and generosity. We may celebrate our 200th national birthday as a free nation, or we may not. Only the top manipulators control the timing of their totalitarian takeover. It is easy to see that it could be manipulated at any time now. They're all set up with the federal districts, federal buildings, offices, computers, and 2.5 million federal employees. Do you think this sounds too far out to be true? All right, then take a look at the white page listings in any fair-sized city telephone directory. First, look at the listings for local city government offices. Then look at the listings for state offices. Then turn to the listings under United States government offices. You will very likely find that there are more federal listings than those of the local and state offices all added together. Now you can begin to see how they are all set up to wipe out and replace our existing local authority anytime they're ready. And now you can see how the 2.5 million federal employees fit into the picture. By the way, do you know how many 2.5 million are? Well, you have seen crowds of about 1,000 people, so count to 2.5 million by thousands, just to do it quickly. Are you through counting yet? Well, we've got to keep moving along, but you might like to finish that count later. Sure, we're a big nation, but that big? Economy ingredient number 7. An economy free from excessive taxes, oppressive regulations, red tape, and federal subsidies. Regulations hit small, independent business harder than big, centralized, monopolistic business. Increasing regulation is killing much small business that does not want to work with government contracts and the fat subsidies that go along with them. Big business can handle the extra red tape because the cost of processing is either compensated for by federal subsidies or passed through to us consumers. In either case, we end up paying the costs while small business is being squeezed out. Ask any independent free enterprise businessman. He'll tell you how it is. Economy ingredient number 8. An educational system that prepares the graduate for a sure-footed role in the economic society he intends to spend his life in. One which turns out students with authority and the confidence of know-how among the complexities of the society he is entering. Generally speaking, the educational background of today is falling far short of turning out students with the necessary authority and command of the actual needs for firm placement in the complex society they're entering. Here again, we find the effect of deliberate manipulation to gain control of our nation and enslave its people. This manipulation is carried out mostly through philanthropic foundations which award financial grants to colleges and universities that offer courses of study favoring the liberal arts and courses dealing with social, economic, and governing systems which are slanted toward the future order of society planned for us by the manipulators. The manipulators are using our educational system to indoctrinate young minds to fit into their schemes. This is deviating and diluting the education of our youth in the preparation for a productive role in our economy. Never before have we had such an urgent need for youthful ingenuity. We have a dire need for technical upgrading and technical turnaround in many areas of our present technological way of life. We have the basic know-how to do many things better and more efficiently than we are now doing, but we need the mental power of well-educated, not indoctrinated, youth to carry out these essential works. Yes, we need all the people our schools can turn out, but we need people who have something more in line with our actual needs instead of what is referred to these days as a, quote, higher education. Economy ingredient number 9. A self-regulating economy based on profit and on supply and demand instead of one controlled by price fixing and subsidies. The supply and demand way is nature's way. It is hard, cold, and cruel, but just. It has a sweet and gentle side, too, just like nature. The supply and demand way doesn't fool around and let things get all out of balance like people are inclined to do. It doesn't let hopes and dreams keep building and promising where there is no foundation for hope. It is quick and accurate. It does just fine without being controlled by man-made regulations. Enough said. Economy ingredient number 10. An economic system proportioned within the budget of natural supply, not upon squandering more than can be produced, replaced, or recycled. In this area, we have gone off the deep end, and now we are about to panic as we begin to see a bitter end to our promiscuity. Our worst case, large-scale offense in this area is overspending in our demand for energy. Not enough attention has been given to upgrading the efficient use of energy. We have been encouraged to use energy like it was going out of style. And what do you know? It's just about to do that very thing. Many of us have not been as penny-wise about operating costs as we should have been because of our high times loose money economic level, so the producers of energy-consuming devices have not been forced to concentrate on efficiency of operation of their products. Why should they worry if we don't? Because we pay the bill for operating costs anyway. This leaves them free to specialize on appealing sales features like style, luxury, comfort, and social status of ownership. In other words, the sucker bait features. The principal offenders in the wasteful use of energy are automobiles, heating plants, and cooling systems. Internal combustion engines are well established as a dependable means for converting fuel into mechanical power, but their conversion efficiency is downright poor. Gasoline has for many years been accepted as a dependable fuel for engines, but here again we find elements contributing to waste. Some of the characteristics that make gasoline dependable and easy to use also make it wasteful. We already know how to use energy more efficiently than we are now doing, but the improvements will not be made until the condition of our economy forces manufacturers to apply them to their products. Competition and conservative spending can do more to conserve energy than all of the controls and regulations that can be applied. The technology developed around space exploration contains many improvements that are applicable to industrial upgrading. Don't you suppose our universities ought to be turning out more graduates trained and dedicated in the task of coordinating our technical know-how? We owe it to succeeding generations to be considerate of their needs and be conservative with how we use what our good earth provides. Economy ingredient number 11. An economy built around long-term flexible planning, but based on short-term investment recovery and short-term financing where borrowing is unavoidable. It is all too easy to sit down after supper with a head full of bright ideas, take a pencil and paper, and all those potentialities and dream up all the elements of a heartbreaking bankruptcy. Many successful companies got started in a garage or a basement and grew up progressively step by step. This is not a glamorous or a spectacular way to begin, but it is a sure way because it is economically sound. There are many hidden, unforeseeable booby traps connected with enterprise, and they must be dealt with as they are discovered. Some of these can be quite expensive, while others can be very time-consuming. If growth is pushed too fast, these traps can become too much to handle, and all goes down the drain in confusion and in panic expenditures. This means on-time delivery, good quality, and integrity, not just idle promises. Economy ingredient number 12. An economy in which all the participants are free to group themselves and associate according to their common interests, common beliefs, common ambitions, and choice of preferences. Here we must bow to the wisdom found in the ways of nature and behave in a way that is compatible within the order of our species. Progress grows out of the differences of ideas, but good fellowship and contentment are found in the comfort of similarities. Here we are talking about something that must be self-regulating if the economic structure of a society is to be sound and workable. It was a sad day for our beloved nation when manipulators within our governing system got the idea of demoralizing our national spirit of cooperative effort by legislating and forcing unnatural social policies. what better way could be found to cloud the vision of our populace as to what is really going on than to cause distraction by bickering and fighting among ourselves over controversial, emotional issues of social differences? We have all been used and used. The strategy of distraction is a favorite and quite effective tactic of the conquering manipulators overthrowing our government from the inside. They will toss some of their own to the wolves from time to time just to distract us and divert suspicion away from the ones behind the plot. How about Watergate and the Nixon resignation, the Agnew resignation? How about the FAA investigation and the CIA investigation? How about renewal of the Kennedy assassination incident? How about the integration and racial balance hassle? How about the busing in school textbook flap? How about the Community Development Act of 1974? This is where our wealthy and generous federal government tosses out a few million dollars in communities so they can fight over how to spend it. This is a very underhanded trick. Since the manipulators are in control of the mass communications media, all these things are given national publicity and slanted, so we will think we are well informed and everything is going to work out just fine. All that is needed is better federal control and regulations, they say. Just to round out their smorgasbord of distraction, they also provide an ever-increasing menu of sports and other spectacular entertainment, just to take care of those who are not so fascinated with political activities or national crises. Now, my dear fellow American, I'm going to speak to you in first person for the next few minutes to discuss things that are just between the two of us. First, let me offer my humble apology if I have acted like a bigot or a smart aleck and talked down to you. This was not my intention. I love you as a fellow American, even if you are a stinker once in a while. I guess we all are sometimes. Oh, you're not? Well, bless your heart. When I began my journey through this life in search of truth for survival and contentment, the state of Arizona was only 1 year old, and there was no federal income tax. President Taft was in office at the time. My father attended the Oklahoma Territory land grab in covered wagon in 1889. The only grandfather I knew had been a sharpshooter in the Civil War, and I remember him telling me that the bureaucrats would ruin the country someday. So I have been searching for the truth for almost one-third of our national history and have seen many national triumphs and disasters. If there was any way I could better express to you the seriousness of our national peril at this moment, I would do it even if I had to be nasty and insulting to do it. I would not want to have to do it that way, but I would, because what you think of me is unimportant in comparison to the responsibility and obligation that I have toward the future security and prosperity of the children of our nation, who must take over the legacy we leave for them. I have two beautiful great-grandchildren, and I ponder their future very thoughtfully. There are a number of true patriots dedicated to doing what I am also trying to do, but we are like pitiful voices in the night, not heard by the sleeping populace. Nevertheless, we must do what we can. The natural optimism common to human nature keeps us from wanting to think about liniment unless we are bruised and hurt. Then we want a remedy and fast. So there is a chance, if the good Lord is willing, that our efforts may catch on in time to help break our national fall. The plot is so fantastic that people refuse to believe that our own government could be overthrown from the inside and that we the people could be overrun, conquered, and enslaved by our own federal government. But this is what is happening. Their manipulations have been in process for quite some years, back through the Roosevelt administration and before, and they're not fooling around. They are cunning, ruthless, and thorough, guided by the evil obsession of lust for power with no regard whatsoever for human rights or human life. They want this big, beautiful nation of ours to squeeze the blood out of however they please, and they want us for their slaves. Do you wonder that I feel very strongly about our pitiful addiction to a false way of life? There are a few patriotic souls left within the structure of our federal government, but they are so outnumbered that they are helpless. Massive public opinion, I had better say very strong massive public opinion, could spoil the takeover plan. But how can we generate that kind of public power in our inflated false economy when people are so addicted to the fake prosperity that they fear to even think it might not be genuine and lasting? I believe, though, that the keen minds of our youth sense that they are not finding the truth, and I believe this accounts for their seeking to find some kind of an answer in turning to drugs, loud rhythmical noise, I can't exactly call it music, weird psychedelic lights, and unusual moral behavior. They are bound to be searching and not finding. The reorganization necessary to rebuild our economy is going to require a temporary stepping down to gain a sound footing. But this will be only temporary and is much better than trying to go on up than falling all the way down. We stand at the threshold of the greatest age in known history, but will not be able to step across this threshold with our present footing. If our addiction is too strong to break, then the great potential that lies waiting will never be realized. Do we sell our souls for another federal fix, or do we accept the truth of reality, stand up and say no to the manipulating pushers of federal drugs? Sure, we're creatures of habit. We have to be. But there are two classes of habits, good and bad. Which do we choose? We must look at the consequences and make our choice now, N-O-W, now. Reward of discipline or the terminal reward of addiction. The manipulators could declare a national emergency, then martial law, and take us over right now. They have manipulated emergency federal powers into law that would allow such a maneuver to be done legally. It is my opinion, however, that they will not do it this way. I believe they are so sure it can be done with their new constitution and new order of federalism that they will do it that way. Otherwise, it would be a little bit messy because they have not yet been able to relieve the population of its firearms. I am thankful that we still have this small deterrent in our favor. There is a lot more of hard information available on details of the takeover manipulations, but this is all that can be put into a one-hour message. Thank you for your patient attention. Please do whatever you feel you should. God bless you, Tom Wilson.